to 17.3, resolution 25-551, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the accounts payable preliminary check run report from November 2025 from Treasurer Roshan Cantia for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
Just one question. I don't know if it's an option or not, but since we're paying for the tracking of the public works vehicles in other municipalities, they do have the Track Your Snowplow app so that people can be aware of, you know, when the snowplow has gone. Just, you know, if people are saying, oh, the snowplow hasn't come around all day or whatever, then if they could follow that Track Your Snowplow app, then they can see that, yes, it did go by at such and such time. Because if we're already paying for the tracking service, is there an option for the track your plow option on top of that?
We can look into that and the cost associated with that as well. Also, ratepayers can call into the office and ask when a snowplow's been by, because we can log into the tracking system and it puts a timestamp on it, so we can also tell them when the snowplow was by as well.
I think just for public's perspective, you know, if they can see how many times the snowplow actually does go, they might appreciate you know, the service that they're being provided with, you know, without having to disturb township staff, that they can go on the site themselves.
Yeah.
If we're already paying for this portion of it. So just a question.
Councilor
Zulak. I remember when we got the tracking things, and that was the whole reason, was because people were saying that the plow hasn't gone by here, and so when we got the tracking, it would say, yes, the plow went by at such and such a time on your road and everything. That was the whole reason, because there was, you know, people calling and saying, you know, the plow has went by all day.
Yeah.
And they were able to track it.
Yeah, they can track Santa Claus, I'm sure. We can do that a little bit here. Yeah. Any further discussion?
I'm curious. I know Rob talked about this, at least I'm not sure we're talking apples and apples, but on page 3 of 23, down under protection services, there's the radio system maintenance, radio system upgrade, about $8,870. Is that related to the tower by the transfer station? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that was part of the capital budget for 2025.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All question? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 18.1, resolution 25-552, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Council's year-end report for 2025 from Mayor David Moore for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Zulak?
It's really good, and it gives a lot of detail of everything that's been pretty well going on for people to see. I think it covers a lot. Makes me think, wow, we did a lot.
I mentioned that I had access to the minutes and memory. Minutes are a little more accurate, probably. And then I called in Carly and Mary to add anything that I'd missed, and they added a few items and also corrected some of my own, which is good.
Yeah.
It's the other way around. I'm looking at theirs. So, as I always said, it's much easier to edit than it is to actually write it. So, yeah.
That's great.
No, I found it awful too, reading it. It was, it fills in the blanks in my faulty memory, right? Because you go, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. But it was well done. Thank you. So,
call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to item 19.1, resolution 25-553, Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Whereas Canada's east-west trade and national mobility rely on the Trans-Canada Highway System, including Highway 17 and 11 across northern and eastern Ontario, which carry significant freight volumes but remain predominantly two-lane corridors. Whereas four-laning the entirety of Highway 17 is the ultimate goal of the communities along the corridor, and whereas the proven 2+1 highway design, alternating passing lanes with a continuous median barrier, delivers safety outcomes comparable to full twinning at substantially lower cost, land, and environmental impact, and can be scaled or converted to four lanes, 2+2, as volumes grow. And whereas the Government of Ontario has announced a 2+1 pilot between North Bay and Tomogamy, and a further extension toward Cochrane, creating a near-term implementation pathway. And whereas modernizing Highways 17 and 11 will improve safety, reduce closures, strengthen supply chain reliability for mining, forestry, agricultural, tourism, and manufacturing, and enhance national resilience and emergency response capacity. And whereas a phase 2+1 build prioritizing Highway 11, North Bay, plus Cochrane, then Cochrane, plus Nipigon, and key sections of Highway 17, western border of County of Renfrew, plus Sudbury, Sault Ste. Marie, plus Sudbury, Thunder Bay, plus Kenora, aligns with nation-building criteria, supports economic reconciliation with Indigenous partners, and enables integrated EV charging and low-carbon construction practices. And whereas analysis summarized by the Federation of Northern Ontario Municipalities, FANOM, demonstrates high freight demand on these routes and strong safety slash economic rationale for a 2+1 program. Therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar formally endorses the adoption and phased implementation of a 2+1 highway program on Highway 17 and 11 as a nation-building project, and that the Government of Canada be urged to designate this initiative as a project of national interest under the Building Canada Act, and to partner with Ontario to co-fund and accelerate planning, design, procurement, and construction, and that the Government of Ontario be urged to expand the announced pilot to a corridor-wide program, sequencing works as follows, subject to readiness and safety benefit. That the Government of Ontario prioritize these projects into the Ministry of Transportation's Major Projects Division, that both governments ensure early, ongoing, and capacity-supported engagement with affected Indigenous nations, with opportunities for Indigenous training, contracting, and equity participation, and that the program incorporate corridor-wide safety features, barrier-separated 2+1 sections, controlled passing frequency, wildlife considerations, resilience measures, in parentheses, closure mitigation, climate adaptation, and clean growth elements, parentheses, EV charging readiness, recycled aggregates, lower carbon materials, and that this resolution be sent to the Prime Minister of Canada, the Premier of Ontario, the Minister of Transport Canada, the Minister of Infrastructure Canada, the Ontario Minister of Transportation, local MP and MPPs, Federation of Northern Ontario Municipalities, FANOM, Northwestern Ontario Municipal Association, NOMA, Association of Municipalities of Ontario, AMO, Federation of Canadian Municipalities, FCM, Rural Ontario Municipal Association, ROMA, Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus, EOWC, for support, and the County of Renfrew for information. Discussion?
A lot of words.
Ambitious, but I think that's what they're trying to do, scramble, I guess, and get Canada-wide projects approved, and so that's part of the infrastructure. It seems quite positive for our area now. I guess it all depends on what goes on with other provinces and what they're promoting of Alberta and the pipeline to the West Coast and any number of things that are Canada-wide infrastructure. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 19.2, Resolution 25-554, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Zulak. Whereas the Municipal Services Board, MSB, entered into an agreement in September 2025 with the YMCA to operate the Tamarack North Centre, and the YMCA has submitted a pre-opening budget to support promotion, recruitment, and staff training for an anticipated opening in May 2026. And whereas the partnership agreement executed in 2021 provides for an annual municipal contribution of $350,000, indexed annually by CPI, Ontario, not seasonally adjusted, October to October, resulting in a 2025 index total of $399,821, and a lower tier Services Board, the MSB, is requesting municipal partner remittances by electronic funds transfer to avoid line of credit interest and ensure timely payments to the YMCA. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Corporation of the Corporation of the Council of the Township of McKellar approved the 2025 pre-opening contribution to the Westbury Sound Recreation and Cultural Center in the amount of $33,985, being 8.5% of the 2025 indexed municipal contribution total of $399,821. Further, that the Treasurer is authorized to remit payment by electronic funds transfer payable to Westbury Sound Recreation and Cultural Center no later than Friday, December the 19th, 2025, upon receipt and verification of the corresponding invoice. Discussion? I'm interested in that. Oh, Councilor Zulak.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
In our motion, it's from in the past, it says commencing in the first year of the facility's operation. Well, I don't feel that we should be sending them any money until they are start operating. And they're saying they want it by the 17th. That's like they did at the very beginning. They said we could pay it in, you know, part, and then all of a sudden they send us a bill for the whole amount, which we could have been having collecting interest. Instead, they're collecting the interest. So, like, I don't agree with that at all.
And that resolution you're referencing is 23-705.
Yeah.
And we do have a number of conditions, I guess, and it went to them.
Yes.
I guess the question whether they've actually read it or whether they're certainly observing it or paying attention to it, because, as you say, it's in the first operating year that we'll pay some of the operating expenses. And not to exceed $30,000. Already they're asking for more than that.
Yep.
So our resolution, and we've said all along, too, that our participation is limited to making a financial contribution, which we've done with our capital contribution. As you said, they wanted it all up front. And now they're looking for operating costs even before the building is open. So, I agree with you that it's not what we have committed to, and certainly by our resolution. But it'll be interesting hearing the rest of the councilors' opinions. Councilor Kacken?
So, the way this is written, is there a possibility that, so it talks about resulting in a 2025 index total of $399,000. So it's talking, McKellar approved the 2025 pre-opening contribution. So is this a 2025 contribution and then there's going to be a 2026 contribution?
Right. Yes, they found some added expenses here, I guess, since they started to negotiate with the Y, and the Y says we have to now get things in place as well, like hiring, et cetera, et cetera. So any number of things that they've done, and I don't know whether they've paid for it yet out of the money that they put in reserves, or whether they need this money from each township now. But I would say that, our resolution is quite... quite explicit that we've agreed to follow these particular route, I guess, and how we approach the subject. Councilor Zula.
So, what a few months ago, did they not go and ask all the municipalities for an extra, what was it, $13,000 or something? Was this, they had asked everybody for, you know, extra money over and above, and most of them gave everything, and we never responded. So how many times are they going to be keep going back to the municipalities before they even get
open?
Well,
that's the thing. I mean, we started at $32,000. That was the agreed, $32 million. That was the agreed upon. Now it's up to $39 million.
Yeah.
And maybe more, and as people had predicted, and the costs are just going up. And it started as a 4-lane, then it went to a 6-lane, and we knew that would be more expensive. And so, the fundraising, that was wasn't really a surprise, I guess. They were going to have $5 million immediately almost, in a matter of a couple months, and then another $5 million within the year. I don't think they'd even reached $5 million yet. And they were predicting $10 million before we even got to this stage. So we always said, even in our previous resolutions, that and certainly in this one, that that's not a certainty when you talk about fundraising, that that money is going to be raised. And if it isn't raised, where do you get it from? Go back to the municipalities.
Yeah.
Councilor Keckman?
I think a couple of other interesting points about the fundraising, it was that if the municipalities don't agree to a six laning, the members of the fundraising committee were going to resign.
Yes.
Then there was this approval of the six laning, and then they hired an outside firm to do the fundraising.
Right.
Which didn't raise hardly anything at all, and actually...
No, they got rid of...
Yeah.
Yeah, they got rid of the outside firm.
Yeah.
So.
So, isn't that normal if, if a board is requesting... a municipality provide a levy for a budget, that you would actually see the breakdown of the approved budget of that board? Like, I don't see...
Do you realize how long we've been held up even to get our audited statements done from the pool committee? And so, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but when you're going to actually see the approved budget, I don't know.
Well, you know, how can you agree to, if you know, no, even with the... the West Perry Sound OPP Detachment Board, we have to present annually a budget to the municipalities so that they know what the levy is to support that board for the year. So you provide the budget so that everyone of the municipalities know, you know, how you came to that number. How do we know that how they came to this number, except that they're just pulling sort of a maximum number out of the hat of what they can do without showing the budget amounts to show that that money is actually required?
Yeah, good question.
Well, because they haven't been upfront from the very beginning. They know it was going to cost a lot more than what they were saying, and it has cost a lot more, and we're not seeing it.
Yeah.
And they don't have no intention of showing it to us. The same as the fundraising. Oh, we're going to raise this much money. And like Mayor Moore said, that you never see it.
So my point basically is, in good faith, how can we possibly give any money for a budget request that they're making without them even showing us the budget that they're basing their budget request on?
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Councilor,
why would you?
Councilor Ryan?
I'm just curious, when I read at least our resolution, I don't know where the wording actually came from in the second last paragraph, it refers to it as a 2025 pre-opening contribution, whereas my memory of this, well, and it's in paragraph number two in there too, is you know, an annual municipal contribution. So who would actually call it a pre-opening contribution, and is it therefore outside the scope of whatever our agreement was? And going back to really Debbie's original point is, like, how can we pay you a contribution when it isn't even operating? No doubt they got expenses, and no doubt they haven't raised the money that they needed to from other sources.
Yeah.
And I understand that part, but by the same token, using those words is kind of a red flag in and of itself, right? How is it that you need this? And again, if they're not living up to commitments on financial statements and budgets and everything else, you know, what the hell?
Exactly, when you say pre-opening.
Yeah.
Pre-opening, that's, they're trying to slip something in here, right? Pre-opening, and you agreed to 30,000, right? But the pre-opening is sort of slipped in with, because our resolution says, you know, after it's open.
Yeah.
It's a deep black hole that's sucking in all the money that goes near it, right? So,
further discussion on this? Call the question then. All those in favor? Opposed? Okay, defeated.
Do we know, I mean, Carly, do you know where that phrase came from, pre-open? Is it in any correspondence from the board?
It was in the letter.
Okay. They're not our words anyway, although they're in our resolution, but yes, so.
To 20.1, that resolution 25-555, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Zulak, whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Township of the Keller and wishes to extend sincere appreciation to Graydon Smith, Perry Sound, Muskoka MPP, and to constituency assistant James King for attending the community meeting held at the Bobby Orr Community Center on Monday, November 17th, 2025. And whereas your presence and active engagement in the discussion regarding the proposed reduction of snowmobile trails for the upcoming season were meaningful to the local snowmobile clubs and many residents, and whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is encouraged by the province's recent commitment to support snowmobiling in Ontario, including an additional $3.9 million to the Ontario Federation of Snowmobile Clubs, OFSC, under the 2025/2026 plan, bringing total funding to $4.9 million. And whereas in the Township of McKellar, snowmobiling is a beloved pastime and a winter tradition for many ratepayers, and maintaining trail access supports livelihoods, tourism, and the vitality of rural Ontario. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the staff shall forward a copy of this resolution and the letter of appreciation to Graydon Smith, MPP, Constituency Assistant James King, and the Ontario Federation of Snowmobile Clubs. Discussion? Councillor Rudd.
Do we know how much of that 3.9 ends up in Perry Sound or West Perry Sound? No, I don't imagine we do, but
I'm just wondering, the letter itself is personal, which is good, but I'm wondering about the second whereas. We should change your to there, just to keep it more objective. We have council's opinion on that.
Yeah.
The letter, I should say, is personal, if it talks about your, but agreeable to that friendly amendment?
Sure.
Everybody clear on the second whereas where it says your presence? Change it to their presence?
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 20.2. Resolution 25-556, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Pekkanen. Whereas Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar determined that a review of its official plan zoning bylaw was required, and whereas these planning documents are interrelated and were reviewed concurrently, and whereas the Township's retained planning consultant, John Jackson Planner, Inc., completed the review and recommended revisions to both documents, and whereas the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing received the official plan submission on June 26, 2024, and whereas an open house was held on August 29, 2024, pursuant to sections 17, 21, and 34 of the Planning Act, and a public meeting was also held in accordance with Sections 17, 21, and 34 of the Planning Act, and whereas the official plan amendment was to be reviewed under the 90-day one-window review process, and whereas as of December 16, 2025, no official response has been received by the Township, now exceeding the statutory review period by 282 working days, and whereas the Ministry has advised that the delay is due to staffing shortages, a high volume of applications, and delayed comments from other ministries. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby formally rescinds Official Plan Amendment Number 9 from consideration by the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing, and further that Council requests that the Township be granted authority to approve Official Plan Amendments locally, as the current review process is not being completed within the prescribed timelines and unduly delays applications, which Council considers unacceptable, particularly in light of the province's stated commitment to accelerating housing and development, and further that resolution number 24-201 and 24-286 are hereby repealed. Discussion? Councillor Ryan.
For the final, or the full paragraph anyhow on page 2 of the resolution, I have a mild concern anyhow that we say council and we know who council is, and it says township and we know who the township is, but we don't say it, and yet further up in the document at the outset we do specifically name the Corporation of the Township of McKellar. I don't think it's ambiguous in terms because we're doing it, but is there any chance that could cause us grief later if we don't don't specify those better?
Pass it down to him, he can.
Sorry.
Consistency is important, yes.
No, I've got it in front of me, and I've read it, but.
But no, now that we have the resolution, if
okay.
you're making an amendment to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope you can read it. I can read it, but.
Two pages everywhere.
Sorry,
back,
yes, yeah. I didn't make any amendments to page one, so.
Councilor Carden?
You know what, I'm not sure that this is the route to go, considering that we've put this much time, effort, and resources. I would almost think that a better option would be to advise the ministry that we are considering rescinding the official plan number, amendment number 9, and as well like the further that resolution number 24201 and 24286 are hereby repealed. I think that our relationship with John Jackson, which was established in 24201 and 24286, has already taken place. We've already, it's not as if we can rescind that and then turn back the hands of time so that we don't establish that relationship. And I think it's important that we maintain that relationship. Who knows how this moves forward. I think it's important that we maintain that that relationship that we've established with John. I think it's better to advise the ministry that these are our intentions, see what the response is, and have we received any comments from John Jackson on how he thinks we should proceed in this type of a situation?
Yeah. Councilor Ryan?
Is there any precedent from other municipalities in situations similar to this, that any actions that they've taken? No. Can't declare ourselves independent or approving it.
Well, some municipalities, see, this one is township wide. That's why I think the province has to get involved, certainly. Even if we had the authority to do individual OPAs, which they haven't given us. I mean, they have, Whitestone has it and other townships, but that's asking for that as well.
And I support that. I support that 100%.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. Those resolutions are sort of. There's more than one thing going on in those resolutions, so it is the contract with John Jackson as well, and I'd certainly like to keep him on board. My concern is, I guess, is that, and Carly has tried numerous times with municipal affairs, nothing seems to be working. I think they need a wake-up call, and they'll take another action, I think, right away. As far as our relationship with John Jackson, I think we should keep that in place. He still has a lot more work to do if the municipal affairs ever gets back to us, and I don't think we want to switch planners to do that. I'm just looking at this, and no matter how many times they've been notified, et cetera, and giving up all these excuses, they're not following the law, and what's actually going to get their attention? And so I think this might, and I don't think it'll be the end of the year, but it might get a response from them at least. Now it's too easy for them to push it off and say, well, we'll get back to you eventually. I think the latest was we'll get back to you before Christmas. But Christmas is almost here. Now some Zulak.
So I think this is a warning to them that this is our intentions. And is there any way that we can not repeal those two resolutions, like have the motion go forward but not have that on there? And then also I would like this to be sent to Graydon Smith, as he's, you know, part of municipal affairs now, and to let people know what's going on. You know, like I've said many times before, if this was the other way around and they were waiting on us for a response, we'd be held up against the wall and shot. You know, really, if you dealt with municipal affairs.
A little exaggeration, but I understand.
Yeah, but I mean, they've never been nice in the past. So I think this is, you know, we're serious. We've waited long enough. How long has it been? Back in 24, and we're going into 26, and they're supposed to be, what was it, 120 days or 90 days they're supposed to respond by? Like, I mean, that's ridiculous. And they can't use that excuse that they don't have. How many staff have they let go? I'm sure they haven't let any of their staff go. They've probably hired more people because they never let anybody go. So
this is more than an intention. This is that the Council of the Corporation Township McKellar hereby formally rescinds official plan amendment number 9. So we are taking action. I don't agree that that's the step. I think that the complaints process is, wouldn't it be through the Ontario Land Tribunal if the, wouldn't that be the complaints process for an issue like this to be brought forward to?
Sure, the process there. Municipal affairs, I think, has their own ministry, so I can't see it going to a subcommittee like the Ontario Land Tribunal. But
I think we need to look into that, because there's always a complaints process which can be taken by, you know, by the public or by the municipality, and any appeals of the official plan. An official plan amendment would be going to the OLT. So I think that we need to look to see if that is the complaint body that would review an issue such as this. I think this is a little bit presumptuous to be moving this, making a decisive action, particularly in the two further resolution regarding John Jackson, but I think that, you know, requesting that the municipality can do their own official plan approvals is important. You know, that I think there's a lot of movement in that direction, where, you know, the province recognizes that municipalities are a mature and responsible level of government and are giving them a lot more authority and responsibilities. So that aligns with a lot of the provincial government's movement over the last few years.
Councilor Zulai.
So I know Carly has had lots of conversations with them, and they're not responding. I know John Jackson has called them numerous times and sent quite a few emails, you know, oh, and I'll call you back. I'll get back to you this week. I'll get back. And they're not getting back, Mike.
Well, that's why I say, like, let's look at what the other option is, because we've invested and spent a lot of the taxpayers' money in this process. To just drop it and start all over again, and possibly we might not have the current planner according to how this resolution is written. Well,
that's what I said, if we took that part out.
So even with that, we would have to start again.
No, I don't think so.
Well, yeah, because we're officially here. It says that McKellar hereby formally rescinds official plan amendment number 9. We're terminating it.
Okay, so if they respond to us and
say,
give
thank
us...
Thank you, you rescinded it. You can start all over again, and we'll go from there.
I don't believe... So
sure.
we're all ready. So we start all over again. We got it all ready. We have all the documentation and everything. What is there to do? John's already done all the work. We just pass it back to them. They are supposed to respond to us, and they haven't responded to us.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying, let's look at if there's an option through the OLT. because that's how a lot of the complaints regarding official plans and zoning are done, is through the OLT. So is there an avenue there? I just, if we can defer this for one more meeting so we can investigate, and then we can amend this to take out the 24201 rescinding and 24286, rethink this a little bit, and I think that that's what we need to do. It's not ready for, as far as I'm concerned, for being passed as is at this meeting, so.
Well, yeah, I think what we have to know, and maybe Councillor Keckney, you can help us on this, with the previous council, what they did in this situation. They had an OPA 9 in place, and it was, there were all kinds of appeals to it. And so the third reading was rescinded for the OPA 9. It disappeared. The previous council did that. You were part of it. And so we started from scratch with the same planner. And the zoning bylaw disappeared as well. Third reading disappeared on the zoning bylaw as well. So we're sitting, we're back to 95-12. And we've been operating with that ever since. Previous council obviously had trouble dealing with not only appeals, but municipal affairs. And I'm just wondering, the whole idea that we're dropping it, it's already been dropped once.
For other reasons, though, because there was something that was not done according to the protocol of how it was supposed to be done. As you recall, Reg Moore, Councillor Reg Moore, was on council at that time, and he determined that there were some errors in the way that the process had taken place. So totally different reasons why that was dropped, and we did have to start again, and that costed us additional dollars to the taxpayers with starting with a new contract with the planner. So we've gone this far. I just don't feel it's time to, as this resolution is here before us, I do not believe that this is in the best interest of the taxpayers until we investigate if there's an avenue where we can file some type of complaint through the OLT to determine, you know, how do we get this resolved, considering that the township has put this much time, effort, and financial resources into where we're at. I agree, it's totally unacceptable what's taking place, but we can't make decisions that are not in the best interest as a reaction if there's another way of doing it to get this taken care of, because we're basically at the pretty as close to the finish line as you can get.
How do you figure that, Mike? We've never even discussed what changes they want. We haven't sat down at this table and discussed what changes that they want.
I'm saying in the process of what's expected of
that's
municipalities and responsibilities. No, we've had open houses. We have had
one open
meetings.
House, Mike.
It's the list here, the things that what we're required to do, and the revisions of the two documents. That's not like nothing has been done. We've done the municipalities.
Nothing has been done by municipal affairs. Everything has been done by the township. They are not cooperating. They are not doing what they are supposed to be doing. They are not doing their due diligence. Why can't we pass this resolution, remove those other two things on the back, right? Those other two resolutions, remove those, pass this resolution, then go and then inquire with the land tribunal or whatever to see, can we take any action against municipal affairs? Is there a way to go appeal what the hell they're doing?
Do you think that you can make that complaint after you've rescinded this and you've basically said it's too late. You haven't even taken that course of action. You've already said we give up. That's what you
never said we give up.
That's what
you're
saying right here when you're rescinding.
And the reasons why, Mike, and it's saying in there the reasons why. Why? Because they have not done what they're supposed to do legally. And that's why we are rescinding this. They never asked us to do this official plan. We said we were wanting to do it.
So this is
And not only that, in the past council, you said that there were changes that weren't done properly. Well, why didn't you correct them? Why did you rescind it? Why didn't you correct them and continue on?
Okay, through the chair.
Sorry. Isn't that what you said? Sorry, through the chair. Isn't that what you said?
That was what I recall took place.
Okay.
If you want specific details, then
no. Research
those documents, and you can see exactly what took place. This is a totally different situation. We're dealing with a ministry problem compared to what took place with the last go at this. Anyways, I think that once we rescind this and our opportunity to bring our complaints to the OLT are over with, because they'll say, well, you've rescinded it. There's no recourse now. If you had any issues or complaints, you should have brought it to us with the list of your grievances so that we can determine how to move forward and make this come to fruition. So anyways, that's my opinion. You're not changing it, and thank you very much.
Okay, well, we've got two amendments to the original resolution. We'll vote on those first. Further, that council of the township of Keller, the corporation of the township of Keller.
Yes,
it's in there. I see it now.
Scribble.
This is in the second last paragraph, right? Be granted authority to approve official plan amendments locally as the current review process, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a corporation of the township of McKellar rather than just the council of the township. So that's the amendment. Oh, there's another amendment attached to that as well, removing the last further that, rescinding or repealing those resolutions 24201 and 24286. So I'll put out the those amendments and do the question first of all on those. Call the question on those amendments. All those in favor?
So okay. Go through the amendments again.
Just changing.
We'll do it on the next page, the back page, whatever.
Yeah, second last paragraph.
It just says council. Doesn't say council of the corporation of the township of McKellar.
Right,
which is just to be more
precise.
Okay. And removing the last further that, so the resolution stay in effect. So I'll call a question on that. All those in favor? Doesn't look like anybody opposed on that amendment, so.
Can I ask a question?
On the amendment, yes.
Can we make another amendment?
Let's vote on this amendment first of all. I guess we can go over the way a procedural bylaw reads. It's the most recent amendment that's dealt with first, and then you go to the previous amendment, and then you go to the resolution.
Okay.
So yes, you've got another amendment? Go ahead. You keep track of all these?
Well, I just want to know if we can remove that resolution 24-201 and 24-286.
Yes, as I've said twice now, that'll be removed.
Okay,
as
sorry.
Part of the amendment.
Through the chair, sorry.
I haven't heard that. Imagine that.
So I'm calling the vote on the amendment. So all those in favor of the amendment? None opposed to that, okay? Now I'm calling on the resolution as a whole. It's the amended resolution now with the amendment included. And I'll call a question on that. All those in favor?
Recorded vote.
Okay.
Councilor Mike Heckman?
No.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councilor Debbie Zula?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. Okay, 3 yeas, 1 nay, 1 absent, so that's Kurt. On to 20.3, resolution 25-557, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak, whereas the mayor and clerk administrator have executed a change order with circular materials for post-transition operations effective January the 1st, 2026, and whereas circular materials has responded to the township's request to permit the blending of eligible and non-eligible blue box materials, And whereas these operational changes are reflected in an amended depot operations agreement rather than a further change order, whereby provisions applicable solely to the transition period had been removed and a recycling cap calculation specific to the township has been incorporated. And whereas staff anticipate the need to reassess depot operations in 2026, but consider it prudent to accept the amended depot operations agreement in its current form to support a smooth operational transition. Now therefore be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby authorizes the Mayor and the Clerk Administrator to execute the amended depot operations agreement with circular materials. And before we get into a discussion, I'll ask Carly maybe just to give us the background here.
So as the resolution reads, the Mayor and myself did execute the change order. The change order did not include non-eligible waste being mixed in with our common collection system eligible waste for the transfer station. I was a part of the municipal working group meetings along with the public works superintendent. They did say that small amounts of IC&I would be included in the blending agreement, so we were waiting on a change order. Instead of a change order, the amended depot agreement came, so I took the time to go through the agreement to ensure that nothing else was changing. They did remove some items that were related to the transition, which was fine. The biggest change is 2.1D, and that's where it is speaking to the materials being blended. During these working group meetings, they did say that a cap would be on the amount of recyclable material that they would transport. So we were expecting the annual cap, which we knew we would be well under. We were not expecting a monthly cap. And because our population is so seasonal, we do see volumes at the transfer station drastically increase in the summer months. So there'd be 2 to 3 months per year that we would be exceeding the cap, which they're putting at just over 11 tons. I have been speaking to Circular Materials all week, and they are taking it back to their higher-ups, but they are fairly confident that we would not be allowed to exceed the 11-ton, even though we're well within the limits annually. The annual limit would be just over 137-ton, and we pulled the records for 2024 and 2025. Last year, total, we were 99.92-ton, and currently, with November's calculation we just got today, we're about 101. We're still waiting on December's numbers, which will be low. I would be interested to see what council, how they would like to proceed with this. We've been working fairly diligently with Circular Materials to come to a solution. They are not budging at this point. Currently, the township would not be allowed to blend this material, so businesses and industry would not be able to put their recycling material in our transfer station compactors. I don't know if CM will be watching us closely or not. If the depot agreement is signed tonight, then that would be allowed. The first 4 months we will be safe. We'll be under that 11-ton limit, but when it comes to May, we likely may go over. That gives us 4 months to work with Circular Materials or Mterra or provide a different solution to our commercial businesses, whether that be the township decide that we are no longer taking it, whether we are able to change our infrastructure at the transfer station to allow for the separation of recyclable material from ineligible sources. I think we do need to look into this a bit further because Circular Materials is not budging, and we were led down a path that we thought that we would be able to commingle, and now it's looking like we won't be able to do so just because of this monthly cap.
So if you go over, is there a penalty?
The township would be responsible for disposing of the material if we went over.
So how do we know if we've gone over?
And that's the thing, we don't know. We don't have scales, so we wouldn't know until it got to the facility. So the township would then be charged anything over 11-ton.
Yeah.
So we would be charged a financial penalty.
Correct.
I guess that's what we gotta basically go with. Like, if you can't determine what the tonnage is until after all the tonnages are calculated, how do you plan for that? And what is the financial penalty?
They have not said yet. I will have to ask them more in detail, because it made it seem that they would only transport 11 ton. So I don't know how they would know, leaving the transfer site, that they are overweight. So that's something we'll have to investigate further.
Well, you don't want a situation, I hope anyway, where it reaches that and then you close it and all the recyclables go into the regular garbage, because you don't want to pay the penalty or whatever. Councillor Ryan.
Just out of curiosity, I've read in the MLCA newsletter that there was a link in there that I opened yesterday and went through it. And it seems to me that, as a general rule, obviously we're going to be recycling more materials than we do now. In other words, things that are presently going into garbage are going to be in the recycling. So therefore, these volumes, while helpful and useful, we don't know the impact of what's newly recyclable. And that can certainly have a bearing. But yeah, as to how we weigh them or how they know or everything else, or even, again, I think we've talked about this before, but I mean, the first 3 months of 26 were, they have exactly the same tonnage, right, down to a hundredth of a ton, is not credible, quite frankly. And it's just, in other words, are they just making it up, right? Or do they just say, well, we don't know what it is, so let's just put in what we had last month? Well, no, how incredible is that? I mean, it doesn't help us at all, but by the same token, anyway, I don't know what we could do that way, but.
Councillor Kagan?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what took place at the recycling plant. I guess the trucks were weighed when they came in, or
just outside the door? And the trucks came in through there and then around the back, and then they came inside the facility.
Was there a waste scale there?
Yes, for sure. I remember, I can't remember the fellow's name, the guy that was with us that day, and he told us that's where the weighing happened was. So we parked out in front, and kind of there was an alleyway coming down the side, and that's where the waste scale was. That's what he told us, showed us, right? And I saw a truck stop there, and I assumed they were weighing it, but again, there's no chance that we have exactly the same tonnage 3 months in a row. Absolutely no chance at all. So either they didn't do it, or their system didn't work, or they just simply made it up.
So other municipalities are using circular materials too. So most of the other municipalities are seasonal, have the high volume also in the summer. So I'm curious, did you ever reach out to them with the garden?
I don't know what Carling and McDougall's doing, because I feel like they'd be in a similar situation, maybe not McDougall, but with the amount of businesses they have. If Carling was looking to opt out, so I don't know what they have done. They may have, and the other thing is our transfer station's limited in space. So if we could segregate eligible and non-eligible more easily, I think we would. Other municipalities may be able to facilitate two more compactor bins just for commercial businesses. I don't think we have that luxury. Maybe there's a different solution. We can work with MTERA. Maybe they're not compactor bins. Maybe there's some sort of smaller bin, because our number of non-eligible material would take a while to fill a bin. So maybe that's something we will have to look into.
Councillor Kagan?
So the recyclables from the non-eligible entities, if we did have it segregated, so how does that get paid for?
The municipality would pay for it.
So then we'd have to have a separate fee structure for commercial and industrial entities in McAllister Township.
And how would we do that? Would we have to weigh theirs?
You could probably, at the end of the month, divide it by, because we don't have weighing facilities. So.
I know, but I mean, again, it comes back to the same kind of problem all the time, is that without knowing how to weigh it, then, what are we going to do, estimate it? I mean, which is just saying we're just making up a figure.
So that's where the most logical plan B would be paying the financial penalty. And somehow that the industrial institutions pay additional fee for they shouldn't even, according to our transfer station certificate or approval, commercial entities shouldn't be disposing of the transfer station anyways. That's what's written in the certificate of approval.
So what is considered commercial?
Anything other than a household, I think.
So like the store,
yeah.
Trailer parks?
Yeah.
And non-eligible sources also come from this building, daycares.
Yeah.
Churches.
Not that it would be better for the environment, but I mean, it costs. I mean, just help them to put it in the garbage, right? But again, that's the opposite of really what I think the province is trying to do, which is get more materials recycled. And certainly from reading through the link that I got from MLCA yesterday, that was my sense of it anyhow. I don't know that I read those exact words, but... And here, Mike, I mean, can you tell me, I mean, does Andy or do our staff that work at the transfer station know when somebody drives in that they're from a non-eligible source? I mean, I get they know some, but I mean, would they know all of them? I don't know. How would they know?
Well, if they're asking for the transfer station permit, it would say where they're coming from, right? So you can verify if you're not sure if they're an eligible source or not.
Fair enough, but I don't think that anybody does.
There is that option, so.
And they could track that coming in, but then again, we won't know the weights.
Mm.
We don't know how much material they're depositing.
What was the weight scale there?
I mean, that's unfortunate because we don't have that many commercial or ineligible in the township because it's so small. Like we have the store and we have a few, you know, trailer rental places and then like the office and... Like, I mean, it's not a big community where you have three or four different kinds of industry and all stuff like that.
And I've expressed that to Circular Materials, and our increase in volumes in the months aren't due to our non-eligible sources. It's because our eligible sources are here producing that material and bringing it to the transfer station. Like, yeah, I've tried to explain the population influx and all that, but they're just not moving. Not moving.
So,
this is the only company to go with this. And you say Carling is thinking of opting out?
Yes, so Circular Materials represents the producers, which the producers have an annual budget every year so that they've put on these caps. If we didn't accept non-eligible material, then we wouldn't be subject to a cap. But then it's our, like, how does council want to service those ratepayers with recyclable material? Because they'd still be eligible to dump hazard or household garbage off, but they would have to not dump recycling. And the volumes are so small.
Yeah.
And I keep also explaining that to CM, but they don't care.
And they've already sent me the DocuSign to, I haven't signed it yet. Yes, Councilor Zula.
So that's our footprint, what's there? That other piece of property that we have, we couldn't put bins up there?
You're talking to the Ministry of Environment then.
Yeah.
It's the other 30 acres that we purchased, right? But.
But doesn't it seem like every municipality in West Parry Sound will be over in July and August? Over whatever the cap is, right? It's because of the nature of our communities, right?
Yeah, it could be a moneymaker for somebody. Not the municipality.
So, are we aware of what that financial, if we did commingle the ineligible sources in with our... You know, the eligible sources for recycling. So the penalty is that we pay a financial penalty on top of. But currently, we're not paying anything with this new structure with Circular with the new agreement, we're not paying anything for recycling, and they're paying us for renting for a portion of the staff time. We're getting actually paid some revenue for by Circular Materials for this new setup.
Yes, but currently we are being docked because the ICNI is commingling with the common collection system, and we are able to do that because we're still in the transition period. But January 1st, we are no longer in transition, and that at that point we wouldn't be able to commingle. We don't have a financial number because it's seeming like they will just cap it at 11 and that's all they'll transport. So I don't know how that they would know leaving the site that they are over. And we don't know how much over we would be every month, and they're not giving me a figure as to how much we would be charged per ton because they don't want to deal with it. It would be exclusively our material to get rid of.
So
yes.
Maybe they will say we have to have a weigh scale. We have to. Maybe they're going to come back with we have to weigh our material before it leaves.
And I think that's the pros and cons that council needs to balance. Like, are we subject to a watchful eye blending a small amount, or do we find some sort of other solution and not blend? And sadly, that option may be diverting to putting those recyclables in the garbage.
Environmentally, that's just plain the opposite of what we're trying to do.
Well, actually, when you look at the big picture, only a very small percentage of stuff is getting recycled anyways. It's going to a landfill site someplace. It's getting shipped halfway around the world, burnt in a third world country. So that's the reality of what's happening with recycling.
Well, we're not making it better than maybe. How about I say that?
And I don't see how we could possibly, without knowing what the penalty is, how could we agree when we don't know what the penalty is?
That would be useful to have that number so that, you know, when we look at what the revenue that's coming in from Circular Materials or RRP, whoever is paying that amount, which is approximately how much?
So starting January 1, it'll be $1,550 per month.
Per month. So if the penalty is $1,555 per month for those, say, three months a year, that's not too bad of a business decision, I think. Because we're not generating it. It's not costing us anything starting January 1st.
It all depends. All depends what the penalty is.
So, Harley, your recommendation on signing this?
Before today, I said sign it, but I'm having doubts now. I'm not really sure what the clear way forward is. If we were to sign, if council were to authorize the signing of the document as is, it would give us 4 months to kind of come up with a plan, talk to Circular Materials a bit more. We're not going to be inspected or policed because we've said that we are not commingling, and now they're going to be checking that we're not commingling. If we sign this agreement, we'll be good for the first 4 months. Maybe that would buy us some time to work out a plan for our heavier months.
Would they be able to check that we're not commingling? Exactly.
Well, and that's the thing, too. They keep threatening that they're going to have a watchful eye and come. When this agreement first came out, contamination rates were a huge thing. They're going to come check that we're not over a certain percentage. We've never had an audit. So I don't know if they're...
Well, I think it would be really easy to challenge the audit because when we went to the recycling facility, everything came from every municipality in the West Perry Sound area and East Perry Sound, everywhere. It was coming from everywhere, getting dumped in one spot with everyone else's stuff pushed up into that pile. There was nothing that was segregating McKellar's recycling from anyone else's recycling. So, you know, how they could possibly do an effective audit Yeah, I even asked the question, how do you do the audit? And there was no good answer, you know, because you could see with your own eyes everyone's recycling was getting dumped in the same pile. So there was no way they could tell, you know, whose was whose. They do it just a general audit at the end of the day or whenever they're doing the sorting, and it seemed like they were allocating that percentage to all the municipalities. So it wasn't.
I remember forming that opinion while we were standing there. That's exactly what they were doing, just splitting it up and saying, how would we know?
And it's a completely ineffective system anyways. It gets dumped there in Bracebridge, then it gets reloaded onto trucks again and gets shipped down to some of the stuff goes to one place, other stuff. So talking about good for the environment, none of this is good for the environment, particularly when this very small percentage actually gets recycled in the end, and all this resources, you know, trucks on the road and people handling it 5-6 times before it actually ends up someplace.
It's window dressing.
That's exactly what it is.
And so that we're stuck with it whether we like it or not. Right?
So is there is that a contract for a certain length of time?
My question, how long is this for?
I believe it's 3 years.
Oh. Mm.
Extend this agreement up to 3 further periods for 1 year each. The initial term and any such additional terms.
I think it's very hard to make this decision, particularly when we can't confirm, like when we're being told that it's cut off at, 11.184 tons monthly, and they're not transporting anything else up above and beyond that. So it doesn't even seem like there's a financial penalty that you can pay, which is a viable option, because we're not over by a lot. Okay, 5 ton here. So if it was clearly spelled out what the financial penalty is, we could look at that option. But what is the plan B once you hit 11.184?
Yeah.
But if we sign this and we're saying, yep, we're good to go with 11.184, how do we deal with anything above and beyond that in July, August, maybe June and May?
Maybe we can say, well, we only sent 5.79 in January, so that if we're over, we can add that to January's bill.
Uh-huh, so there's the solution, that we stockpile
yes.
the bins that were over in July and August, and we have extra bins, store them at the bottom, and then we call in extra bins in January, February, and March.
Yeah, it's just a matter of transferring everything. If you're storing them in a bin, then you have to transfer. So.
But if you have extra bins, like the same bins that they're using, then you're just storing those full bins down at the bottom until, you know, for 6 months.
Yeah, but it depends on whether they're bins or not. And, they're going to know that, you know, you've got extras. My only solution would be that you have the extra bins that we have. They're not compact bins, but that's where you store them. Then you'd have to transfer. So they'll know the compactors, whether they're being stored somewhere.
Well, so what's so January 1st, they're still using our bins, though, are they?
Right, and then in April, we'll switch to Antera bins, and we'll have our two compactor bins free. So that could work. We could use them for the summer and then call in extra in the lesser months, because then, like, Amterra won't matter to Amterra.
So, but is Amterra, there was some discussion that they were going to rent our compactors or buy our compactors in our bins?
Yes, they're going to rent them starting January 1st.
Until April?
Until they can switch out to Amterra bins.
So that's not even a long-term solution. Because, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen in April. So we signed this agreement with, you know, this great plan B, and then April everything changes.
I do have an email out to Intera too. I wasn't able to connect with the VP today, but I was hoping to maybe speak to him about some sort of solution, transporting wise. Whether he has a different solution or another bin option that we can use to stockpile and send on a lesser amount.
Yeah, it gets pretty complicated, you know, because it's, even if you could work with another municipality, when if they're well below their caps every month, if they have caps like this.
I don't know.
Did they explain how they got to 11,184?
They gave a tonnage amount to each household, so I can't remember if it was 81 or 91. Kilograms of waste.
Okay.
So they did a calculation and then they divided it per month. And I argued, well, we're way under the annual total. What does it matter? We have heavy months and light months, and there's been absolutely no movement on that. They said this is what the province has mandated. This is how they've done their calculations for the producers' budgets. There's no way in changing it.
Completely self-serving.
Okay, any further discussion? Not
well,
that we've resolved much, but...
Well, I don't know how we can even vote on this. Like, if we
yeah.
don't...
Do you want to defer? But then, as you say, it's going to be starting in January. I mean, you've got the gun to your head, so...
So are you going to sign it?
I don't know. Direction of council, what we need to know.
Get back at you.
There's an answer if I've heard one.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's going to require further discussion, so we're not ready to vote on
deferral. We don't meet until January.
So deferral will technically be illegal because we're mixing, we're blending material without it being in an agreement. Are they going to come knocking at our door? Likely not.
So I forgot. You asked if there was another company that did it?
No.
This is it.
It's Circular Materials. They've contracted MTERA for our area. The only way that we get out of this whole blue box debacle is being an opt-out community, which we likely wouldn't want that because that could mean that all of our residents would have to take their blue box material elsewhere.
So you said Carling was thinking of opting out?
They were. I'm not sure what they resulted in, but I can see
what they were going to do, or what was their alternative?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Then it falls back to Circular Materials' responsibility. If the municipality says that they're not willing to be a depot for them, then Circular Materials has to figure out how they are servicing those people in that community, which it could mean that their depot is not used for recycling. So you wouldn't want your residents to take your garbage one place and your recycling another.
I think they would do everything in their power to make sure that that didn't happen. So then now you've got some negotiating leverage. You know, if you say, well, we're going to opt out, we can't agree to this, this doesn't work for us at all. You figure out where you want your recycling brought to.
And if we defer, if council defers, then I can ask CM that exact thing. If all of a sudden we decide to opt out now, what does that look like?
Yeah, because if they're responsible for providing a recycling material depot for the residents of McKellar Township, and you know this is their best option, having an agreement with McKellar Township at a waste disposal site, like now they're going to have to find another site, rent another site, set it up, get an MOE agreement set up. Like they can't just set up a recycling depot wherever they feel like it.
And it would have to be in McKellar?
Not necessarily,
no.
No.
Or maybe they'd say we'd have to take our stuff to McDougal. I don't know.
How do we get out of the contract if I'm just looking right now? I mean, and I haven't spent time trying to do that. Is there a way for us to exit the contract if we enter it and then change our mind?
I think it's 3 years.
Actually, sorry, here, there's a 7.4 sales agreement termination.
Yeah, it's 3 1-year terms.
one-year term. So after 1 year, we could get out. So we're good until July by this.
Well, if you're obligated to 3 1-year terms, it's 3 years. I mean, if it's a 1-year term, they would say that. But
so why did they say 3 1-year terms?
Well, it's the same we have with Spectrum, if you recall.
Yeah. Okay.
They had 2 or 3 5-year terms.
I don't know. It just seems like it's for 3 years. So if the penalty is like enormous, like we have no idea. It could be minimal, but what if it's enormous?
Well, that's how can you sign a contract?
I know, without knowing what
the
penalty is.
And if after a year that we do find the municipalities getting charged a lot of extra fees for this, then perhaps we look at this decision to tell IC&I non-eligible places that they are not able to deposit their recyclable materials at the transfer station. They would have to secure a contract with a private hauler.
So, 3 options here. Carried, defeated, deferred.
Oh. Well, I guess defer. We have to defer it and find out what the penalty is. They have to tell us what the penalty is. How can we sign a contract when we don't know what the penalty is?
My fear is they won't ever really tell us what that is, because like I said, anything over 11, they want, it's our problem.
Okay, so how do, yeah.
So are other municipalities getting a legal opinion on this? You know, like, you know, signing an agreement where you don't have all the information, you know, from a legal perspective, like, how much sense does that make?
I can ask the smaller municipalities, but I know the town, they've subcontracted someone to just do the business. Obviously, Parry Sound has a lot of businesses, so it makes financial sense to have someone else just do it exclusively. I don't know how that's being paid for. I assume, like, commercial taxes are higher, so that encompasses other services, but...
So the one point here is that what if McKellar did that? So all the non-eligible sources, they deposited somewhere else, but we still went over the cap.
Then we wouldn't have a cap.
Okay.
They're only putting on the cap because we're blending.
Oh, this will go on forever. So they'll weigh the truck when it comes in. It only comes to McKellar. It only comes to one township and picks up at a time. So there's no chance of them taking 2-0. So the truck...
So if the truck was over 11 ton, would they leave it here? And we'd have to deal
How would
with
they
it?
Know if it's over 11 ton?
I'm not sure. I don't know if the trucks would have
the
to
The truck driver?
On
yeah.
Them.
Yeah.
Would they bring it back next time? Would they bring it back to you?
There's a lot of unanswered questions, and it's hard because we aren't in the post-transition yet. Like, so there's a lot of still up in the air things we're trying to work through.
All for deferral. All those in favor?
Further discussion.
I'll defer.
Like, if you defer it, then what happens January 1st?
I don't understand that either, to tell you.
So they're not going to come and take our garbage?
If we don't
decide I would say we just go as normal, knowing that we're not being legal with our agreement, and then see what happens.
Just
say oopsie.
Yeah, sorry.
Forgot.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you must have mixed our garbage with somebody else's. You mean go with this agreement? Is that what you're saying?
No,
or no?
You asked about deferral, right?
Yeah.
So if we defer, what would we be doing? I think we would just be going as we are.
Now.
And then wait until they come knocking to say that we're not compliant with our agreement.
Okay.
Which likely wouldn't happen until May anyway.
No.
Oh, okay. And then we have to pay a penalty for the months that we didn't.
Which
we shouldn't have to, because not until... probably May that we would hit that threshold.
But as we are right now, we're not allowed to blend. So start after January 1.
We're not allowed to blend. But the threshold comes on when we're blending.
Correct.
So, but they don't, how do they know that we're blending?
They don't, and our CNAP population is so small, they won't know.
Yeah, it's not like you can look in the bin and say, well, that's, you know, from a commercial entity, right?
Yeah, okay.
The whole thing is so...
All right, is it resolved? Built
and sealed.
Yeah, try again. Call for a deferral, all those in favor. Call for carried, all those in favor. All for defeated, all those in favor. You have to vote here.
Oh my god.
Yeah, what happens? Nobody votes.
That's automatically defeated, I would say. Just by the lack of voting.
Okay, so.
If you're abstaining, the whole thing would be defeated.
It would be abstaining, like everyone would be abstaining.
So, what are you suggesting, Carly?
That's where we started.
What are you suggesting? We go with it?
If we go with it, then we will be compliant for potentially the first 4 months. That will give Tom and I time.
And they
time.
Won't have any idea if we're blending
right.
it or not.
Yeah, we'll
okay,
be
so.
Single. Like, we'll have time. Circular Materials is working with us. We can contact them, Tara. I don't know if we will come to a solution or perhaps later in 2026 we will be aware of what those penalties will be or the process. Will there be scales on the trucks? Will they know leaving the facility that we're overweight? I think we will have more answers in the coming months. CM is just slammed with trying to get these agreements passed by December 31st. So, like, and we're not getting answers. So I think it'll just buy us some time while being compliant if we do sign this agreement.
Okay.
But we're stuck with this agreement for 3 years.
Yep.
Somewhere in this document, I was going to say something nasty, there should be a much clearer explanation of how you terminate the contract, and there is a termination section that doesn't deal with that at all. Right? I wrote contracts for the bank, and I mean, I wrote them, and I had a million lawyers working with me, and my boss told me that the most important thing in a contract is how do you get out of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you don't figure that out before you start, then you got nothing. So, well, yeah, that's right. So.
Then you're... Then you're in breach of contract. And whatever the penalties are at that stage.
Well, maybe they'll charge us $1 million because we're over the 11.1.
Well,
I mean, that's the absurd part, but then again, on the basis it's not here,
yeah,
this is provable.
Yeah.
I think the best solution for us, frankly, not, it's far from perfect, would be to sign it now when we got at least 4 months until there may be an issue or may not. And if commingling is the biggest problem, then I don't know, we'll tell those businesses to put theirs in the garbage.
And you're on the Lake Stewards
Committee? As we've already discussed, it all ends up going somewhere nasty anyway.
Anyway,
so,
yeah.
But at least we've done something and haven't just ignored what is clearly a problem. Not that I blame Carly or anybody else for it. I mean, it's what's our alternative? Right? And it also requires them to do a level of work to weigh them and to do it reliably. Because again, if you produce this and then told me that I had 8.01 tons for the first 3 months of the year, exactly, right? Where's the proof?
And then the next month, 7.9, and the next month, 8.1.
I don't recall the conversation, but I remember when we were in Bracebridge and were outside talking, that it's just like, somebody just made this up, right? And again, in all likelihood, they didn't know what it was. We don't know what it was, so like...
That's what they rely on, is people not asking questions.
I know. But in the worst case scenario, if it was some ridiculous penalty, then we could sue them because this is what you gave us, right? And you didn't tell us what the penalty was going to be, so how can we be responsible for it?
Oh, yeah, but then if you sign the contract and you didn't ask those questions, then determine you know, get those answers before signing a contract, and they'll say, why did you sign the contract if you had such concerns about it? But anyways, I don't know.
Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah, it's just,
but it does seem to me to be better to sign it and have it in place and then work through the books. And again, I'm sure for circular materials, this is about 1,000 times worse for them than us. And they're trying to figure out, how the heck will we do this?
Okay, try it again, quick.
I don't know, I'm thinking of adding under duress at the end.
Yes.
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 We'll sign it under duress.
Yeah.
Because we don't have enough information to sign it, but anyway. Whether that carries any weight, I don't know.
Just when you sign it, just put an X and a smiley face.
Okay. Okay, call the question again. All those in favor?
Oh.
Under duress.
Yeah,
under duress.
Put under duress on there, because then if it ever does come back, can you not do that? Because if
it's
it ever
an amendment.
If it ever comes like to a problem, we can say we had concerns and we weren't getting answers.
And just listen to the recording of this council meeting, you'll know that we had lots of questions.
Yeah.
And the recording doesn't hold much weight though. It's the actual what's down on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an amendment you want to put
in?
At the very end?
What's the difference?
So that's the amendment, adding at the very end the last clause under duress. Call, first of all, the question on the amendment. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. Now on the resolution itself as amended. Call the question. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried.
We can blame Morley.
Yeah. Who moved in second?
On to 21.2. At resolution 25-558, moved by Councilor Pekkanen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller is hereby give bylaw number 2025-64, being a bylaw to approve and authorize the acquisition of Block A, Plan 249, first and second reading. Further give a third reading and pass an open council the 16th day of December 2025. Discussion? Do you want to give any public background? I know it's in the notes, but.
This is the parcel of land on the corner of Burnett's Road and Craigmore Drive. The township assumed that we'd owned it. We'd been on the assessment for since 1989. In working with the lawyer, we determined that the township did not own it. Was in the name of someone else. We did get a hold of them. I spoke to them on the phone, and they were also surprised. They thought the transfer went through in 1964, so now we're working with the solicitor to get it into the township's name, so we need to pass this bylaw to do that, and then we will go forward with the sale of the property.
It's further, I mentioned this before too, and I'll just reiterate, I guess, so maybe it'll get done. The whole idea of checking the title of all our township property, we've run into this a couple of times now, and I'm not sure, we've had a list for decades, but how accurate is that list? Should we have somebody, can somebody on staff search title, or do we have to have a solicitor search title? But I'm thinking we should check all township properties so we don't run into this again. Councilor Kirkland?
Doesn't township have an account with Intera? And isn't that where you'd be able to search the titles?
I haven't used it before. I will learn and do that because it's much cheaper than having the lawyer do it. I just haven't had time to get into it, but that would be a project for sure.
What's the company?
Entera.
Entera, not Terranet?
Terranet.
Or Terranet, sorry.
Yeah. I knew it had Terra in it, yeah.
I think there was another interior we were discussing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Carried over. Any further discussion on that one? The other question is, I guess, you talked to this individual. I guess it was still in this individual's name then, so there'd be a lot of back taxes owing on it. Maybe that's why it's just being turned over. Who's paying the cost for the solicitor to get all this done? Is that the township then?
Yes. The township is paying all costs on both sides for this to be.
Is that anywhere in the bylaw or in the resolution so that it's understood by both parties?
I don't believe it's in the resolution, no.
No, and I
or in the bylaw,
I don't think it's in the bylaw, but I'm thinking it should be in there as a as an extra clause, or even at the very end of the second one, saying that all costs borne by the township associated costs.
The letter that was given to the property owner did have that clause in there, so they are aware that in doing this transfer, that their costs will be covered, and they understand that it is a transfer at $0.
Okay. Well, as long as it's understood, yeah, shouldn't be a problem. Any further discussion on that? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Unfinished business. This is December 16th, 2025. Anything on that list? Councilor
Peckman? So, have we received any feedback or this report to council from the IT consultant regarding cybersecurity insurance? And did we have any issues recently with cybersecurity?
Yes, we did. My email got compromised last week. They're getting very good at scams, so I sent an email to an agency asking for a certain thing, and I got an email the next day with what I thought was what I had requested, and it was a link, a bad link. And then subsequently, my email address was sending emails to many senders or individuals. I contacted IT immediately. They were able to change my passwords. Once the email goes out, there's not much that can really happen. I did speak with the insurance company today because they were one of the people that received the link, and they kind of understood the perspective of the IT consultant not to do cyber insurance because there are a lot of things that can take place that you wouldn't be covered for. The report hasn't come yet. We're still waiting on that. But the IT consultant is recommending that we don't purchase cyber insurance. More if the township is wanting to spend money on cyber security, that you put it into training, because the biggest aspect of cyber breaches is people. So it's your staff clicking on a bad link, knowing what to look for. These emails are getting more and more believable, so just looking at individual features like the sender address, if you're putting your cursor over the link, see in the corner where it's going to prior to pressing it. So more training for staff is kind of your best avenue for cybersecurity protection, because we are well protected on the IT side of it.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Zulai.
I was talking to a councilor from Seguin about a different issue, but anyways, they were saying they get training every week. They have to go through training for attacks. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, Forrest Pengra, I don't know if you remember him from
yeah.
the municipal meeting. He kind of oversees Seguin's IT.
Okay.
He is very knowledgeable in cybersecurity. He did even offer for me to speak with him about some things moving forward. Some of the West Perry Sound municipalities also put on an annual training, so their staff and elected officials can go meet in one spot, and they have a group training for cybersecurity. So I'd ask Forrest if we'd be able to join that perhaps this year and what the cost to that would be. So I am working with Seguin in terms of that.
Okay.
On here, for the five lots, they've been surveyed. They all staked? Not that we'd see the stakes now, but...
They are all staked. There's a draft reference plan. We've paid TELC for the surveying. There is more or less a shelf life on draft reference plans. TELC was saying it's about 6 months, so we'll bring that to council sooner rather than later, just because they need to ensure once they register the plan that those stakes and bars haven't moved. But they are, the properties are staked.
Okay. And just clarification... for Belvedere,
yeah.
The operating lease will not affect borrowing capacity. I'm not sure what operating lease. Did we talk about that?
So when the backhoe came up and council was asking about, well, when the treasurer was looking into financing options, we
mm-hmm.
wondered if an operating lease would affect the borrowing capacity, and the auditor came back saying no. If it was a capital lease, it would affect borrowing capacity. So we'll just have to have that discussion at a future meeting, whether council would like to take on that guaranteed loan.
Okay, so that's what that is, because I had that highlighted too to ask you. All right, so for an operating.
Right, so if we're to purchase equipment or vehicles on a lease, we're okay. If it gets anything bigger than that, then it may affect our borrowing capacity.
Okay, so like the question was, our threshold for debentures, right? Does that, if Belvedere is asking for so much, does that affect it? Is this?
I'll have to confirm with the treasurer.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem to. I don't understand it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're guaranteeing, you're not actually doing anything.
You're not leasing it.
But I think you have to have that money available. So.
He did ask, and I just don't want to provide you with the wrong answer.
Yeah.
But I do believe, just because it's a guaranteed loan, it's not something you're actively paying, that it wouldn't affect your borrowing capacity for other debentures within the township.
Okay. Because Seguin and Carling were feeling that they were going to be over their threshold with debentures that they already have. So if he can find out if that's true,
mm-hmm.
that would be good to know.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, any new business? Public notices, announcements, inquiries, and reports by council members.
I just have regarding Belvedere, at the last council meeting, David, you had asked about the bills being paid for the new building, and so I checked in and got a refresher, and I recall now that Carling, Seguin, and McDougall, they took out debentures, you know, to cover the building build cost, and they took out $11.5 million debenture, 50% Carling took out, 25% Seguin, and 25% McDougall. And so Belvedere gets a draw from IO every month for $700,000, which is paying for the new build so far. So it's being paid, the bills are being paid, but Carling, McDougall, and Seguin sort of have, you know, put that forward to help cover until the build is done, then we get the money back. Okay? So is that...
All right? That's good to know. Any other committee reports? Workshops? Okay, consent agenda. And resolution 25-559, move the Council of Zudak, second Council of Kekkonen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the consent agenda as presented. Anything from that list you wish to pull? Comment period related to items on the agenda. Anybody in person or on Zoom? Yes, Mr. Rubin.
Thank you, Mayor Moore. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, everything's fine now. Yep.
Okay, thank you. Couple questions. With respect to item 20.2, the official plan discussion, I guess the first question is, the last paragraph states that council requests that the township be granted authority to approve the official plan amendments locally. Who are they requesting that approval from? And then the second question is, after this official plan has been rescinded, what's next?
It's sort of in municipal affairs hands. They're the ones who would give the authority for the local. And that could be, it could go above them even. Of course, it could be the premier, it could be other people, but that would just be for a local official plan amendments. As I mentioned, some townships in the area, and I don't know if it was connected with the fact that they went into amalgamation talks earlier, and they got the approval to do OPAs of a local nature. Whitestone's one, I think Strong Township's another that I saw on the list, and so we're asking for that as well. And it would go to the ministry initially, and then they would have to go beyond that. far as next steps, we're sort of putting it in municipal affairs hands. They've broken their own rules, legislation, with, we think, some feeble excuses. So putting it back to them to decide, you know, what we should do next. Right now we have OPA 8 in place, I believe. So that's around 2015. I think that's when that was done by a previous council. And our bylaw, which would have been our zoning bylaw, which would have been 2021, I think, roughly, it's reverted back to 95-12. So we've been operating ever since on the old ones that we had in place. And so I guess it's sort of up to the ministry now whether we can continue that way, because we have had planning decisions being made based on those documents, or whether we have to review, as they say, every 5 years. And I think they're extended to 10 years in some situations. I can't remember the legislation exactly. But they're sort of forcing the township to break their own legislation, because they're not getting back to the township following the what they have in place, saying that it has to be reviewed within so many days. So we'll just leave it in their hands and see what their response will be. And I'm thinking it might be rather immediate, because as you heard probably throughout the evening as we discussed it, there hasn't been anything to actually force their hand. They just keep delay. And we've gone through the steps that we were supposed to, and we're waiting for a response, sent it off to them, and we just haven't heard back. So we'll see. I guess it would be up to them to make the next step. We can still function, because we had been functioning. As I said before, the previous council rescinded or repealed the third reading of the new bylaws anyway that they were putting in place. So we have reverted back, and we've been existing with those in place. So.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for that. And then finally, I'd just like to say thank you to council and to staff for all your hard work and efforts over the year supporting the residents of McKellar, and wishing everyone a safe and enjoyable holiday season and a prosperous new year. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you, Mr. Rubin, and same to you, I think, from all council, and wish you all the best, too. Resolution 25-560, moved by Councillor Keckin, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-65, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, and further give a third reading and pass an open council the 16th day of December 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In resolution 25-561, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Zulak. The result of Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
9:53 p.m.
to meet again on January the 13th, 2026, for a regular meeting of council or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.